And now I invite you to join me in turning the pages of God's Word to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. I am going to begin reading at verse 1 of this great chapter, right in the heart and midst of the Apostle Paul's ministry comes the letter to the Christians at Rome. And a letter that is just as meaningful to us today as it was in the first century when Paul wrote it. Rome, of course, was the capital of the Roman Empire. The powers of Rome were the strongest powers to that point that the world had ever known. It is interesting that God set the wheels of the Roman Empire in motion to bring about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. For the great empire of Rome was holding the world in its hand. And Micah 5:2 prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But Mary lived in Nazareth in Galilee. But God said to Caesar Augustus, "You issue a decree that will bring every family to the place of their nativity." And so Mary and Joseph made their way down to Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born. Before I read my text today, I want to remind you of two or three things that you already know, but that are so easy to slip from our minds. Inasmuch as you are gathered here in this congregation, you are a part of the greatest cause in all the world. You are a part of the only eternal cause in the world. For everything else comes and goes, but the church of the living God continues to live. You're a part of the most expensive thing in all the world, because God made the greatest of all investments in the church when he invested his own son who died on Calvary's cross to make all of this possible. I know that you already know that. You already know that the sun shines 365 days a year. We don't always see it, but it's still shining. We ought to remind ourselves of things that we already know. Samuel Johnson once said that men need to be reminded of things that they already know more than they need to be taught things that they don't know. These are some of the things that we need to be reminded of today. Now in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, after a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the book of Romans and for the writer. And for the gospel of redeeming grace, and for Mission Sunday, and for missionaries, and for a missionary book, and a missionary Christ, and a missionary church, and a missionary message. And so it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit might take the reading of the text, the preaching of the word, and bring honor and glory to Jesus' name and to those who listen. May it be a blessing and may it fill the emptiness and the void that might be there today. This we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, oh, I'm glad it's written that way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now in the year 1902, the Congress of the United States of America passed an act that was known as the Reclamation Act of 1902. It established the Bureau of Reclamation in Washington, D.C. The function of the Bureau of Reclamation is to reclaim dry and impoverished lands by the process of irrigation. The government contracted with individual and private builders to build electric plants, irrigation plants, drainage areas, all of these things to irrigate the dry and thirsty land, particularly in the western states of the United States of America. One of those was the Boulder Dam, or the Hoover Dam. Its lake or reservoir, Lake Mead, is the largest reservoir in the world. And the Hoover Dam is the fourth highest dam in the world. It stands 726 feet high. The Bureau of Reclamation irrigates some 7 to 10 millions of acres of ground with an acre foot of water, which means at least 1 foot of water per acre standing above it, if it were all brought together. Now, beloved, I like to think of the church as being in the business of reclamation. And I believe today that it is ours, by divine commandment and commission, to irrigate the dying, perishing, thirsting souls with the water of life. My, what a task! And what a business this is. I want you to observe with me some 6 words, just in passing, out of verses 13, 14, and 15 that I read a moment ago. Those words are, first, saved. Second, the word call. Third, the word believe. Fourth, the word hear. Fifth, the word preach. And sixth, the word sent. Now, let's reverse these words. The word sent must be first. And then the word preach. And then the word hear. And believe. And call. And saved. Amen. You see, it is the business of the church to sin. We send preachers. Preachers preach the word. So then, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We as a church send preachers. I don't mean we call men into the ministry. Nor do we call men to missions. This is the business of God. And I'm old-fashioned enough in my theology to still believe that God calls men to preach. I know there are a lot of people that are occupying pulpits all over the world who have never received any call from God to preach. They are mama spawned and papa sent. John chapter 1 verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I know I haven't been going under some sort of disillusionment for the last 18 or 20 years. Because I believe today that I stand before you, unworthy as I am, as a man who has been sent from God to proclaim and to preach. And I made it very clear in the little article in the paper, forget the picture but remember the words, that the sole purpose of this pulpit is to proclaim and preach the gospel of redeeming grace. And I dare not lend the facilities of this pulpit to any other cause but to preach the gospel of grace. The church sends out those whom God has called to preach, and people hear the word of God and they believe the word of God, and they call upon the Lord, and they are saved. That's the divine order. We are living in a world of lost humanity. There are people who are lost all about you in your community. There are two classes of people in the world today. The saved and the unsaved. That awful debacle in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned against God and played into the hands of the devil in his dirtiest deal brought sin into the human race. Paul says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Two classes of people. Saved and unsaved. Saved sinners and lost sinners. The only difference between you and the man who is in the gutter this morning trying to overcome the hangover of last night is the grace of God. Oh, the grace that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. You and I must reclaim these who are lost. 140,000 a day are dying somewhere without Jesus. I know that there are those who adopt this philosophy. The people the world over have their own religion. Why don't we just leave them alone? I ask you, can we leave the pagans to die in their paganism? Can we leave the heathen to die in their heathenism? Can we leave the unsaved to die in their sins? Remember, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, there you cannot come. You know, we could leave them to die in their sins and in their superstition and in their paganism and in their heathenism and in their darkness. We could leave them there to die and not feel guilty at all about it had it not been for a summit conference on a mountainside in Galilee almost 2,000 years ago. But in that summit meeting with Jesus and 11 men, something happened that has changed the course of human history. And from that day, almost 2,000 years ago, on the mountainside in Galilee, recorded in Matthew 28, the world, to this day, has never been the same. We cannot leave them alone because a commission came out of that summit conference that said, go. And then and there, around the year 32, or perhaps 33 AD, the Divine Reclamation Act was written. Go ye therefore into all the world and reclaim lost humanity. We must go preach. We must go teach. We must go make disciples. We must go irrigate dying souls with the water of life. Last Sunday night, I had one of the greatest experiences of my ministry. I baptized 3 teenage sisters right here last Sunday night. You don't do that every week. I baptized a father and his son and his daughter. You don't do that every week. These are the things that I'm talking to you about when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all men, beginning at home. But beloved, what we have begun at home is so explosive that we cannot retain it here at home, nor contain it here at home. It must go to the ends of the earth. We are, I say, compelled by Christ to reclaim the lost. 140,000 a day dying without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Samuel Rutherford, a preacher of yesteryear, said when after many hours he would spend even in the cold on his knees, his wife would come and say, darling, please, please come to your rest. And he would say, woman, I have 3,000 souls to account for, and I don't know how it is with some of them. 140,000 a day! That doesn't mean much to us, does it? We're so accustomed to big figures. We read in the paper it cost 8 7/10 million to roll off one F-111. We don't say much about that. But you know, when the preacher starts talking about missions, some people draw in their little shell and say, I've got to take care of my own. Beloved, if you will take care of God's, God will take care of your own. 140,000 a day dying without Christ. Someone said, but preacher, the task is altogether too great. To try to win all of these people to Christ is like trying to flood the desert with an eyedropper. You know, if just one of you went out with an eyedropper this afternoon to try to flood the desert, you wouldn't get far. But suppose every person in Fort Worth took an eyedropper full of water to the desert. We must have a concerted effort, and I'll tell you my answer to the argument, it's too great a task. Here is my answer. The time has come when we must cease looking for a task that is equal to our power. We must begin to look for a power that is equal to our task. And that power is the Holy Spirit. We've become so starched and we've become so streamlined and so modern, we've almost forgotten that unless the Holy Spirit does it, it can't be done. Even in Baptist churches, the Holy Spirit must do it, or it can't be done. Let me give you a little instant replay on that. I say again, we must not look for a task that is equal to our power. We must look for a power that is equal to our task. And Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Dr. A.J. Gordon gave this testimony once. He said, for years I prayed, dear Lord Jesus, dear God, have compassion upon a lost world. I don't pray that prayer any longer, Dr. Gordon said. Because one day while I was praying that, it seemed to me that I heard the voice of God saying, A.J. Gordon, I've already had compassion on the lost world. It's time you had compassion on the lost world. I've already given my best for a lost world. It is time, Gordon, that you gave your best to a lost world. Don't pray that prayer. God has already had mercy. God has already had compassion on a lost world. The time has come for us to have compassion on a lost world. God's Bureau of Reclamation began at Calvary's cross when Jesus died to reclaim all of earth's lost humanity. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. A lot of people don't know what it is to be saved. They think to come down an aisle and shake the preacher's hand, or sign a card, or turn over a new leaf is to be saved. But beloved, to be saved is to be born again into the family of God. 140,000 a day are included in those that Jesus died to reclaim. God's Bureau of Reclamation was incorporated into the ministry of the church in Acts chapter 13. For there in that chapter we read that they were in the church at Antioch, many praying, fasting, believing Christians. One Wednesday night, they were all down praying. Some of you miss out on a whole lot by not thinking that the Wednesday night prayer meeting is important. Just thought I'd put in that plug for the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I don't know whether it was on Wednesday night or Sunday night or Monday night or when it was. But they were praying. And the Holy Spirit said, thank God that the Holy Spirit has a voice in Worth Baptist Church today. And the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. You know what that does? That makes missionaries out of us all. That throws the responsibility of missions upon the shoulders of the church. No mission ministry and no mission program can survive nor be successful that doesn't have at its heart the church of the living God. The church is the supporter of missions. I don't want any part in any mission program that isn't supported by the local church. God said to the church, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas, and I'll send them to that place where I've wanted them to go. And Paul made 3 missionary journeys that covered most of Europe and Asia. And he didn't fly in a 707 or a DC-9. The odds were against him. But if God be for us, who can be against us? God's Bureau of Reclamation that began at Calvary's Cross and was incorporated into the church in Acts 13 continues today, right now, through the ministry of worldwide missions at Worth Baptist Church. Look again at verse 14. How shall they hear without a preacher? Nothing is sadder in all the world than people without a preacher to preach to them the gospel of redeeming grace. You know, in the United States, we have one preacher for every 1,100 people. One for 1,100. In Latin America, they have one for every 1,000,000 people. The odds are uneven there. Consider today how many people there are to reclaim. 140,000 a day. 140,000 today, Sunday, March 15th, 1970. 140,000 people in eternity without Christ. The population of the United States is now something over 200 million people. Half of them are under age 25. Did you know that there are millions of young people under 21 who have no religious training? We try to operate a training time, and some of you parents don't think it's important for your children to be in training time. But you're going to wake up one of these days and find out that it is. I'm just going to drop that on you this morning. Some of you parents that are seated right here this morning, you don't think it's important for your children to come on Sunday night, but you're going to find out one of these days that it is. You don't think it's important for them to be in Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's for the old folks. But you're going to find out one of these days that it is important. Beloved, if we don't teach them and train them in the Word of God, we're gone. Our nation is gone. Oh, you say, I think Sunday school is sufficient. No, you're just kidding yourself. You don't think Sunday school is sufficient. Not really. Oh, but you say, my children just don't want to come on Sunday night. If mother and daddy had the right attitude, they'd want to come. Amen. There'd be very few exceptions where they wouldn't want to. Look at the local scene. This last week, Wednesday, a 13-year-old girl arrested for pushing marijuana. In our schools. Last week, a 16-year-old boy for selling heroin. In our schools. I heard a man say, who was being interviewed about the dope question, the dope problem in Tarrant County, and this is what he said: you would not believe the widespread effect of dope in the elementary schools of Tarrant County. I heard on the radio the other day, that 3 years ago, they sent on the average of one boy a day to Gatesville. Now they send 28 a week. I read in the local paper that the U.S. Public Health Service Hospital, they've changed the name of it, and I never can remember it, but it's right out here. They treat from 300 to 400 people a year for dope addiction. A man said, if the present trend continues in our area, they will treat 16,000 a year. A panel discussion Another article in the newspaper said that we better begin to alert the elementary principles of the coming discipline problem in elementary school. You see, there was a time when you had problems only with dropouts and people that had gotten away from school or either had graduated college and they didn't amount to anything in life. And you know, there are a lot of people going to college that ought not to be going to college. I've just about changed my philosophy on college. I've about decided that more people would be better off to stay at home and work hard than to go and be taught the damnable things that they're being taught in government and church-supported schools. You say, preacher, you're hollering long and loud. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, but I do. I know whereof I speak. The average college in this town is rotten to the core. I mean church-supported and state-supported schools. Talk to some of the students who've been brought up in church and listen to what the professors are giving them in some of our colleges right here at home. It'll make your hair curl if you've got any. Wouldn't hurt some of us a whole lot, I suppose. Beloved, I'm saying to you that this is the gravest and greatest problem our nation has ever faced. And we just sit around and take it easy and yawn and don't do anything about it. Where can I begin, preacher? You can begin by getting your children and grandchildren under the influence of the gospel and the teaching of God's word. Amen. For at best, they're going to have a hard time in life. Don't look lightly upon training time and Sunday night and prayer meeting. It's most important. It's part of the total program. There's only one possible way for us to carry out God's program of reclamation. You and I together must become involved in one word in my text. And that word is S-E-N-T, sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? That's Mission Sunday. That makes missionaries out of us all. A man spoke in our chapel service at the seminary several weeks ago who was a representative of Trans World Radio. And he told one of the most amazing stories that I ever heard in my life. Now, Trans World Radio broadcasts the gospel in various parts of the world, he himself being from the South American installation, where their radio signal is picked up 1,000 miles away. And they put out the gospel. The state church, the Roman church, fixed all the transistor radios to get only one program, and that was theirs. And they distributed transistor radios to all the people. But one fellow got ingenious and he changed the radio dial and they could pick up the Transworld radio with a gospel of redeeming grace. So in the end, the Roman church was supplying radios for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. One day after a baptismal service there in a river in Colombia, South America, the preacher was just finishing up his last candidate for baptism. A pickup truck drove up and out jumped 10 Indian chiefs. It's not chiefs, is it? Is it Jeeves? So what? One's the chief. And 9 more makes 10. But they were in their full dress. Perhaps the Baptist preacher thought, well, if I had a scalp, it wouldn't be mine any longer. Those men got out of that pickup truck. And they said, preacher, we want to talk to you. Well, what do you want to talk to me about? We want to be baptized. Baptized? Why don't your pastor baptize you? We don't have a pastor. Well, what about the church? Why? We don't have a church. You don't have a pastor? You don't have a church? How on earth do you know anything about baptism? They went on, and I'll try to piece the story as best I can to tell the story. One of the Indian chiefs went out to buy some supplies. And he bought a transistor radio. And beaming over that transistor radio was the gospel of redeeming grace. And he shared it with his fellow comrades and the other 9 chiefs. The radios had been distributed among these chiefs, and so one day they all came together to see if all their stories would correlate. So they began to tell what each one had heard. And all 10 of them had been saved. And they had heard enough on the radio from Transworld Radio to know that the next step was to be baptized. And so they said, "Preacher, we want to be baptized so we can go back and evangelize our tribes and begin our own churches. That is a part of the Bureau of God's Reclamation." And some of those tribes make up the 140,000 a day that are dying without Jesus. You know, I'm glad today that I'm on the staff of God's Bureau of Reclamation. I mentioned a while ago the Bureau of Reclamation in Washington. You know, all of the staff members don't leave Washington and go to Arizona or New Mexico or one of the western states to make sure the land is irrigated. They stay there and take care of the homework. I'm saying that just to say this. All of us may never go to the mission field on our feet, but we can go on our knees. God's Bureau of Reclamation. Thank God you've been reclaimed by the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ. And if you have not been reclaimed yet, I offer to you this proposition. If you'll do what my text says for you to do. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever, that means you, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's my message on Mission Sunday, March 15, 1970. What are you going to do about it? Join up with God's Reclamation Bureau and be a part of a group that is reclaiming souls all over the world. Let us stand. Our prayer. Our Father, we truly thank thee for redeeming grace, for the Bureau of Reclamation. We thank thee that we have been redeemed and reclaimed by Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. And for those who are yet unclaimed and unredeemed and unsaved, may they come today to trust the Savior. For those, Heavenly Father, who are outside the confines of the church, may they come and identify with this body of believers. For those, Heavenly Father, who are in the framework of the church, or some church somewhere, but dear God, are not really counted in the Bureau of Reclamation, being a part of the staff, having lost sight of the need of visitation, having lost sight of the compulsion by which we are compelled to go out and witness for Christ, may they come today and say, "Pastor, count me in on that staff. I want to be a part of God's Bureau of Reclamation." May they come today. Whatever the needs are, may people come and find the needs supplied through Jesus Christ our Lord, we ask in his name and for his sake. While the congregation remains with your heads bowed in prayer, in a moment the choir is going to sing a stanza two of invitation hymn. If you're out there today and you've never trusted Christ, you've never been reclaimed, you've never been saved, I invite you to come and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will guarantee you, by the authority of this written word, you will be saved. If you're out there today and you need to come for a word of prayer and say, Pastor, you don't have to tell me anything. Just talk to the Lord about it. Unless you want to, I'll be glad to listen. But by your coming, say, I want to be on that staff of reclamation. You're a church member and you love the Lord and you're saved, but you've lost sight of all of these things. You've lost sight of the fact that every Christian is a missionary. I want you to come this morning. Whatever your need is, while we sing this first stanza.